Welcome to the sixth episode of Nightmares of a Doctor. In order to maintain the anonymity of the individuals concerned in these stories, names, places, and identifying features have been altered where appropriate. Therefore, any resemblance to individuals living or dead is purely coincidental. Although necessary details have been changed, these stories are based on actual events. They are real tragedies suffered by real people in real hospitals and clinics throughout England and Wales. Michael is a patient that every doctor meets. He has dreams for the future and regrets for the past. He may be a man, but just as often Michael is a woman. Sometimes he is brave, passionate and strong. More often he is corrupted, faded and weak. Sometimes he is old. Sometimes, regrettably, Michael is a child. All of them are seduced by the promise of drugs. For some, the promise is grudgingly delivered. Their lives are enhanced, albeit only briefly. For most, the promise leads them down a lonely path. It is a path that no one would ever knowingly choose. But if they are lucky, they are stopped in their tracks as they realize the lie, and they are allowed to fight for the lives that they left behind. For an unlucky few, they are granted no lenience, and everything they love is torn from their lives. The only way left is the darkest of paths, the depths of which they will never return from. This is Michael's path. This is his journey home. When Michael reached the door of his childhood home, he thought he'd feel happier. Instead, his shoulders ached from his stinking backpack, and his sense of shame burned at the inevitable prospect of meeting with his parents. Michael was returning to his home in disgrace, but as far as his parents knew, his studies at university were still going well, and he was now coming home to enjoy the Christmas holidays and to be with his family. He didn't know how to tell them that he'd failed his exams and was now addicted to drugs, with nothing more to show than a criminal record that he'd rightly earned for needlessly fighting outside of a nightclub. He couldn't bear the thought of that disapproving stare from his stern-faced mother, or the inevitable jokes that his smirking father would make at his expense. A great part of him still loved them and craved for their affection. To see his mother proud, and to make his father laugh. But his mother had never been easy to impress, and his father's sense of humour had always eluded him. By all accounts, Michael was a frustrating individual, who failed to meet the heights that his talents predicted. His life had been changed from the moment he had stepped from the gilded privilege of his childhood home. He had marched into university, with a lack of purpose and a sense of entitlement. His pride was reinforced by his like-minded friends, and his ambitions were curtailed by the endless supply of sex, alcohol, and drugs. Michael reflected on his wasted opportunities before abandoning the thought and the rise of emotion that inevitably came with it. There was so much that he lacked, but right now there was nothing he needed more than his keys. For the thousandth time, he cursed his absent-mindedness and despised himself for it. His frustration was soothed by a pleasant summer breeze, which blew across the city streets as the last light of day glowed weakly on the horizon. Michael stopped to listen to the sound of distant sirens that mingled with the hum of a spirited city preparing for its nightlife. He stared vacantly at his feet, not daring to look at the expectant doorbell, instead allowing his head to thump hopelessly into the door. In the very same moment, his prayers were answered. The door was evidently unlocked, and it opened before him. Michael smiled before walking inside. The door was set into a sandstone wall that was tipped with ornate spikes as a deterrent to intruders. Michael walked through it into a dreary front garden, overrun with weeds and a carpet of brown leaves. A motion sensor light responded to his entrance, and he walked through the garden to the front door of the house. It wavered in the breeze, invitingly ajar. Michael pushed through the door that led into the kitchen. He took the weight off his shoulders as he heaved off his rucksack. And as he did so, he noticed a letter by the stove. "Sweetie," it read, "your dinner's in the microwave. Give it at least 3 minutes. Rosa, the babysitter, will be dropping off Lizzie at 7 p.m. Please give her a bath and a snack if she needs it. She'd love a story before bed. We should be home shortly after. Welcome home at Christmas. We're so longing to see you. Love, Mum." The tone of the letter gave Michael reason to feel pleased. He put the letter down and opened the microwave. The sight of his dinner made his mouth salivate. He scooped up the mashed potatoes and swallowed them greedily, then used the greasy sausages to mop up the rest, before returning the empty plate back into the microwave. Michael stopped to breathe. He turned to the fridge and opened it eagerly. His eyes scanned through its contents, and he settled on a carton of full-fat milk, which he held above his head and emptied down his throat. As the creamy, rich fluid flowed down into his stomach, the expression on his face became a picture of content. He smacked his lips and wiped his mouth with the back of his sleeve. A satisfied silence settled on the room until Michael heard the click of a wall-mounted clock. It was not yet 6 o'clock. He opened his rucksack and drew out his belongings, stuffing sodden clothes into the expectant washing machine. Then he turned on himself, stripping off his clothes to add them to the rest. He stood naked in the kitchen and had another glug of milk. By the time he had finished, his beard was soaked and dripping freely to the floor. Michael went upstairs to run himself a bath. He turned off the taps and lowered himself into the steaming tub. As he submerged his body, the water rose up to within an inch of the rim. His eyelids slid shut, and he lay there in silence. The slowing beat of Michael's heart sent minute pulses through the oily, smooth water. He blissfully floated in a luxuriant haze, feeling all of his pains dilute into the fluid. In the peace that he found, he allowed his thoughts to form and speculate on his current circumstances. Ideas and ambitions took flight in his mind, and he gave himself reason to feel positive about his life. He resolved a decision. He would tell his parents everything and abandon his past life of drugs and self-neglect. He would beg for their forgiveness and hope they would support him in rebuilding his life. It was well past time. Michael emerged from his bath, both dripping and determined. He rubbed himself down with a thick cotton towel before stepping outside into the neighboring bedroom. He sat down upon the bed and looked up at the walls. The room he had grown up in was no longer his own. Through time and neglect, it had become just another bedroom his parents kept in their house. He flung open a wardrobe and was pleased to recognize the familiar faded clothes. Soon he was standing in a mismatched outfit as a wave of nostalgia crept quietly upon him. A rise of emotion swept up through his chest that was suddenly put down by the chime of the doorbell. He reached for his towel and dried his shaggy hair as he bound down the stairs. Michael walked through the front garden and opened the door to Rosa, the babysitter. A phone was clamped between her shoulder and her ear, to which she whittled in a language alien to Michael. She thrust the pram forward without breaking her conversation, before turning on her heel and hurrying away. Michael watched her go, as he himself was watched. Lizzie looked at him curiously, but Michael moved quickly to take her off her guard, lifting her from her pram and showering her with kisses. She spat out her dummy and giggled with delight. He held her in one arm and took the pram with the other, carrying the two back inside their home. Michael hadn't forgotten the message he'd been left, and he diligently set about doing everything that was asked of him. He prepared Lizzie a snack of fruit juice and biscuits, then they played in her bedroom before he took her for her bath. By the time she was dry, little Lizzie's head was beginning to nod, and she scarcely seemed able to stand on her feet. With her tucked up in bed, Michael began to read her a favourite story, but he had not turned a page before Lizzie was asleep. He put down the book and crept out the room, propping the door open just the way that Lizzie liked it. Michael felt content. He suddenly felt strong, full of purpose and drive. He only had to contend with speaking with his parents. They would be on their way home soon. The thought made him nervous. He sought out a pen and he put his thoughts down on paper. He would list all the ways he had let his parents down and neglected his life, and finish with a plan for how he would rebuild it. Michael swung on the banister as he descended the staircase, distracted by a torrent of determined ideas. He had not yet reached the bottom before an unwelcome thought froze him in his tracks. The urgent thought wrestled with the others, an image in his mind, frantically seeking to be seen in his head. He retraced his steps to recapture what he'd seen. Instinctively, he turned to the window by the staircase. He looked out across the garden to see the garden door that led out onto the street. It carelessly hung on its well-oiled hinges, providing a view onto the street outside. Michael didn't have the time to curse his own carelessness at having left the door open, because in the very same moment, he had sensed something else. In the leafy darkness that led back towards the house, a figure stood motionless, like a shadow of a statue. Michael squinted through the gloom, staring at it closely, but not yet seeing. It took a moment before the image made sense in his mind. The breath stopped in Michael's chest, the color drained from his face, and his pupils dilated in fearful anticipation. Two cold eyes were fixed upon his own. The figure was not a shadow. It was a grim-faced man standing in the front garden, glaring up at Michael with a haunting stare. Their eyes were locked in fearful fascination until Michael was overwhelmed and he dropped to his knees, pulling them to his chest with his back to the wall. Gasping and trembling, he stared wide-eyed at the air before his face. From the floor, he turned to look up at the window. The light from the hallway lit up the staircase. He crawled over to the light switch and reached up to flick it off. Emboldened by the darkness, he rose, half flinching, to meet the intruder's gaze. But already, the figure had vanished from sight. Michael pushed his face closer, tightly holding the window's frame, as though the sturdy beam might help him see clearer. A breeze picked up, scattering the dry leaves that were better heard than seen. Michael kept looking, but the figure had gone. He crept back up the stairs and entered Lizzie's room. She lay on her back, breathing lightly in her sleep. Michael leant over to plant a kiss on her head. His trailing beard tickled the side of her cheek. Lizzie mumbled softly, but she stayed sound asleep. Michael moved like a ghost throughout the upstairs of the house, turning off all the lights as quickly as he could. He returned to his bedroom and sought out a torch that was buried in a cupboard. It was heavy and black and long since dead, but he held it firmly in his strong right hand. he descended the stairs and returned to the kitchen that led into the garden. The kitchen remained just as he had left it. There was nothing to be heard but the incessant pounding of his heart in his ears. He opened the door that led into the garden. As he took his first step back out of the house, he was suddenly dazzled by the motion sensor lights. They scattered the shadows and it illuminated every corner. Michael spun round as though suddenly in danger, brandishing his torch. He swung it like a sword. But no aggressor met him. A few moments passed before Michael was distracted by the onset of rain, which gently pattered as it fell about the leaves. Michael began to feel a little bit foolish, and yet, at the same time, reassured by the stillness. He scrutinized the image that echoed in his mind. The memory was blurred by the darkness and the leaves that had swelled in the breeze. Had a man really stood there? Was it just the imaginings of his febrile mind? He looked up at the window through which, not long ago, he had looked down upon the garden. With the lights turned off, the black window pane gave nothing away. A comforting realization settled on Michael. If anyone had entered, their movement would have triggered the motion sensor lights. That was all he needed for the stress to drain away and to feel the relief wash over in its place. He strode over briskly to the still open garden door, which provided a window into the quiet street outside. With a chuckle, he swung it closed and checked that it stayed so. In his bare feet, he ambled back through the front garden, across the moistening ground. For the first time, he noticed an unassuming wooden bench, which lay half buried amongst the unkempt garden foliage. Tucked underneath it was a rusty pole and a folded umbrella. Michael stopped in the rain as an idea came to him. He assembled the umbrella before sitting beneath it and lighting a cigarette. It was just what he needed. By the time he felt settled, the garden's motion sensor lights had turned themselves off. Michael enjoyed the sound of rain falling down onto the fabric of the umbrella above him, and the sight of his smoke dissolving into the night. He found comfort in the dark, unseen and unbothered. For a blissful few moments, he simply existed in peaceful solitude. Michael reached into his pocket and drew out a second cigarette, before a square of yellow light flashed up above him. He lazily gazed up to the beaming window, which moments before had only been black. Michael kept looking, allowing the terrible realization to form. The figure of a face formed a silhouette in the window. The rising fear brought Michael to his feet, and he moved towards the light, not believing what he saw. Perfectly centered in the square of yellow light stood the grim-faced man, who stared unblinking into Michael's desperate eyes. His unlit cigarette spilled to the floor. Then Michael saw that in the man's arms he held a shapeless bundle. The man stroked the bundle. That's when Michael knew that the bundle was Lizzie. Michael moved quickly. He flew into the kitchen and sought out his rucksack, which he had left amongst the laundry. Ripping it open, he fumbled for his phone. A single bar of battery lit up precariously. He dialed for emergency and a solemn voice responded. Michael had time to deliver his message before the battery-starved phone turned itself off. Michael sat upon the floor and wondered what to do. Panic and uncertainty scattered his thinking, but the thought of little Lizzie hauled it back together. Whatever the intruder wanted with his sister, Michael had to assume she was in imminent danger. He would not let her down. Before stealing upstairs, he slid out a steel blade from the kitchen knife stand. Michael stood soundlessly by the upstairs window where a few moments earlier the intruder had been. In one hand he held the heavy black torch, and in the other was the knife, which he gripped like a dagger. All was dark, and all was quiet, until Michael broke both. He turned on the lights that lit up the landing, and he called out loudly, warning the intruder of the incoming police presence, and threatening bloody violence should his sister come to harm. Silence responded. He crept towards the bedroom where he had left Lizzie sleeping. The light inside was off, but Michael could see that her bed was now empty. The sheets were bare white, the blanket strewn onto the floor. From outside in the street, flashing blue lights reflected off Lizzie's windows, but Michael's narrow focus did not see past the room. He hesitated by the doorway, sensing the intruder at the edge of his perception. Michael had left Lizzie's door carefully propped open to let in the light that lessened the darkness. Without the doorstop, the door's own weight would bring it to a close. But now the door stood wide open by itself, the immobile doorstop to the side and obsolete. Michael knew that there could only be one reason why. He crouched down in readiness and moved forward stealthily. When he stood in the doorway, he threw all his weight against the open door. He felt a body crushed between the door and the wall. Michael braced his whole body and smashed the door a second time. The intruder cried out, revealing his position, as Michael turned upon him, swinging his knife down towards the intruder's head. The intruder was still reeling from the unexpected flurry, and he saw the knife late. The man twisted to his side, but could not stop the blade from cutting down viciously through the sinew of his back. In Michael's weaker left hand, the heavy torch was reduced to little more than a shield. The intruder seized upon it and thrust it hard into Michael's face with surprising speed and frightening ferocity. Michael's nose was bent into an unnatural angle, and blood began to gush across his face and his chest. Michael kept his balance, and he stayed on his feet. Having lost his advantage, he swung his knife aimlessly, but through his desperate lunges, the knife's point found its mark, burying itself inside the intruder's neck. As he fell onto the ground, the knife bent and split, leaving its tip rooted in the spine of his neck. Michael's only thought was where to find Lizzie. It was then that he saw the flashing blue lights of the police on the street, but the knowledge of their presence did not reassure him. In the very same moment, he saw Lizzie lying huddled in a heap on the floor, not far along the corridor. She looked at him sadly out under from a blanket. It took Michael a moment to see that Lizzie was wrapped up in an older woman's lap. The older woman's features were nearly identical to Lizzie's. There was no doubt at all. The woman was Mum. Michael wept for joy and staggered over to them both. There was the sound of policemen calling up the stairs. At Michael's approach, Lizzie hid beneath her blanket. The woman who held her cooed reassurance to Lizzie, but in her eyes there was nothing but a fierce, naked fear. He looked into her eyes, and Michael saw something else. He stopped by a mirror as he passed along the corridor, momentarily distracted by his bloodied reflection. His nose was broken badly, and his clothes were bloodstained. He surprised himself with the length of his beard, and the weariness etched into his dark and wrinkled eyes. How long had it been since he had last been home? Michael stared at the woman, but as he looked a little closer, he soon began to realize that he did not seem to recognize her. Lizzie began to scream, but the woman did not flinch or respond to her cries. She held Lizzie tightly and watched Michael closely, with now a deadly look in her narrowed eyes. Michael shouted at the woman, demanding that she immediately release Lizzie to him. Then he fell to his knees, his bloody tears falling thickly to the floor. He didn't even notice the policeman behind him. The next thing he knew, his broken face was pushed roughly into the floor, and a solid pair of handcuffs bound his hands behind his back. The police escorted Michael to hospital. There he was treated for a number of medical problems. His nose was reset, and there were multiple hand fractures of varying ages. His belly was swollen with intra-abdominal free fluid, which had resulted from a failure in Michael's liver function. After thorough investigation, he was found to be suffering from hepatitis C virus, a condition he had obtained when sharing needles for injecting heroin. Despite his swollen belly, Michael was severely nutritionally deficient, and he was managed for a variety of electrolyte and vitamin deficiencies. His physical health improved, but his mental health did not. This episode was the trigger for him to slip into a state of catatonic depression that was part of a deeper bipolar disorder. At that stage, there was little that was really known about Michael, but his doctors estimated that he was at least 50 years of age. Michael's assault on the perceived intruder was fortunate not to end with any loss of life. The knife he had left inside the man's neck cut clean through the muscle right down to the bone, but it had narrowly avoided the essential web of complex neurovasculature that would have most certainly ended the man's life. The perceived intruder whom Michael had attacked recovered from his own injuries and returned to his home, the home that Michael had mistaken for his own. It took time for investigators to piece together the entirety of Michael's sad story, but this is what they gleaned. Michael had once been a promising student and a devoted son to two proud parents. When he found drugs, he abandoned his studies, and his life as a young man spiraled into oblivion. He abandoned or deceived anyone who had loved him and turned to the streets to seek meaningless satisfaction in drug-addled solitude. His hopes and ambitions were repeatedly stirred by his manic bipolar episodes, which would give him the drive to acquire what he needed. This was what had brought him to the home he had invaded. A careless housekeeper had left the house open on a night that was prey to an opportunistic drug addict. When Michael entered the home, something in it had triggered an echo of a memory, and his hopes were wrapped up in a delusional obsession of fixing his broken life. The owners of the home and parents of Lizzie had entrusted responsibility to their elder daughter Michelle, to whom they had left the instructive written letter. But Michelle was running late. By then, her sister Lizzie was being cared for by Michael, who himself was in the grips of a blissful delusion. Michelle contacted Rosa, the babysitter, which is when it came out that Lizzie had been left with a shaggy-haired stranger that neither of them knew. Michelle promptly called her parents, who contacted the police. But when it came to their youngest daughter, they weren't prepared to wait. They rescued their daughter, but they paid for it dearly. Michael's story is a symbol not for intruders or drug addicts or even for criminals. It is a story about those who have been forgotten by society. It is for the countless men and women who have been cruelly seduced by the unnatural chemicals that are known to us as drugs. It stems from a succession of catastrophic decision-making that channels their lives into the darkest recesses of inexorable suffering. It is a construct of society that takes their lives there, for they are the victims of this unnecessary evil. If Michael is still living, he will be indeterminably institutionalized into a high-security place for the criminally insane. That will only be the start of his physical imprisonment, for his life was taken from him many years before. These stories deal with themes that will be challenging for some. If you're in need of advice, try to speak to a loved one or someone you trust. If you are still unsure, seek advice from your registered GP, who can refer you on to one of the many available support services. If you or someone you know are dealing with a mental health emergency, you should urgently contact your local crisis support group. Talking costs nothing, but it could be worth everything.